I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we'll celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday with one of King's favorite musical genres, gospel music. We have an encore broadcast of a performance chat with singer and minister Smokey Norfolk. But first on this day, honoring the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a champion for civil rights in the 1960s, we wondered about this generation of leaders in social justice and ministry. Who else is being called to and trained for what Dr. King called inescapable service? For answers, we turn to those places where he was nurtured and tutored, his alma maters. Joining us are Justin Bryant. He is a junior at Morehouse College, where King received his undergraduate degree. Justin Bryant is pursuing a bachelor's degree in history. He's also president of the NAACP chapter at Morehouse and president of the Georgia NAACP Youth and College Division. The Reverend Jason Turner is pastor at Community Baptist Church in New Haven, Connecticut, and he's a seminary student at Colgate Rochester Crozer Divinity School, where Dr. King was a seminarian, and Elizabeth Siwo Akundi Jones. She is a doctoral student in practical theology and homiletics at Boston University School of Theology, where Dr. King earned his doctorate. And we welcome you all, and we thank you all so much for being with us on this special day.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I wanted to start by asking for each of you, Dr. King was a noted scholar as well as a social justice leader. And so I wanted to ask, is it intimidating to attend the schools from which he graduated? Or is that one of the things that drew you to the school? So, Justin, I'll start with you. Was Dr. King's attendance at Morehouse part of the appeal, or was it intimidating?
I definitely would say it was a part of the appeal. I think it's also inspiring to attend the same school that Dr. King attended, just to have some of the same professors when Dr. King was a professor at Morehouse College, to still be present and to still teach at the college is just phenomenal, and it's just a great experience.
I know they talk about it there. It's that I know that Dr. King's birthday and tragically, of course, the day of his death is acknowledged at Morehouse, so it's something that is present with you.
Yes, ma'am.
And Reverend Turner, what about you?
I definitely was attracted to Colgate Rochester Crozer Divinity School because of King's presence there, and it was definitely a part of his shaping and formation for ministry. I do come to this with a sense of respect and awe, seeing that his presence was here and it's still felt here. So it's not at all intimidating, but I do come with a sense of awe.
How is it felt there?
You can't.
Presumably he didn't scratch his initials in any desks or anything like that.
Exactly. But you can't get through the courses, which are centered around social justice and social ministry, without evoking Martin King. And so it's very much present in the curriculum, and students are very much aware of his presence in the past and always call upon him and his ideology in our course conversations.
And Elizabeth Siwo Akundi Jones, what about you? Boston University is a very big school, of course. But what about you? Is Dr. King's presence still felt there in the School of Theology?
Absolutely. The Boston University School of Theology, we call ourselves the School of the Prophets. And there are so many images of Dr. King throughout our campus at the School of Theology in front of Marsh Chapel Plaza. And so for me, when I think about the opportunity to be at the school, it's not intimidating. Rather, it is inspiring, and it links us to Dr. King's legacy.
And you're originally from Kenya, if I have that right.
That is correct.
And was Dr. King's presence at Boston University part of the appeal for you in attending that school? Did you know about it before you went there?
I did know about it. And it is something that definitely attracted me to the school. But for me, the opportunity to pursue education at any institution is always a wonderful opportunity. So this is something that added to that. And many of us in religious studies, we are particularly attracted to Boston University because King has a legacy there. We have access to his papers. We have access to other works of his. And so being at the School of Theology is something that is inspiring for me and for many others.
And is it intimidating at all?
No, it's not intimidating. In our African societies, we are linked to people who came before us through naming and through other rituals. So in my case, I was named after my great-grandmother. And as a child, whenever I behaved poorly, my mother would remind me that I was named after my great-grandmother, who was a wonderful woman, and she would go on and on. And so anytime I remember the link that I have to Reverend Dr. King, even if only by being at the same school at which he attended, I'm reminded of that same call to greatness. And so just as in the African tradition that links us to our elders, I, in this case, am called not only to be able to do works as great as King did, but also to be even better. That was one of the call that he had to us, is to be even greater than those who have preceded us.
And one of the reasons we called each of you is that you are students at institutions where Dr. King studied, but you are also now engaged in a form of sort of active service, in some form of ministry, in some form of kind of active involvement in the affairs of the day. So, Elizabeth, I'm going to start with you because you're involved in an organization that supports orphans in Kenya. Talk to me, if you would, about how you link your studies in theology and your work in the world. How do you see those two connected?
I chose practical theology and homiletics for very specific reasons that are related to activism. Practical theology for me bridges theory and practice. I wanted something that would be able to have an immediate impact on everyday lives. And then homiletics, because I'm a preacher. As preachers, we have access to being able to change lives in the same way that King was able to do. So in my work, I focus on what I call the small voice. And these are the marginalized and neglected persons in biblical times who also relate and correspond to people today. So for me, the modern day small voice are the orphans, the widows, victims of violence, and Orphan Wisdom Incorporated, the nonprofit organization that I founded, addresses the small voice of orphans. And it is also linked directly to a statement that King made that really stands with me. And King stated that no individual or nation can be great if it does not have a concern for the least of these.
Reverend Turner, what about you? What is it that you feel called to do?
Well, for me, my work within the pastorate, I believe in this being, in there being a community of prophets. And so what that means is I'm not just one voice in the community. I've engaged our congregation in being a part of a broad-based community organizing effort that organizes individuals through individual meetings and house meetings that get into the community and don't just come with an arrogant approach as if we have all the answers, but listens to stories of people in the community to craft a vision for our community that we all would share in bringing into reality.
Justin, what about you? And one of the reasons we were interested in you is that because you're so involved with the NAACP, and as you know, that a lot of people criticize organizations like the NAACP for being out of touch with the real concerns of youth today. So I'm interested in what form do you think, why have you chosen this particular form of service at this time? And what do you see for yourself in the future as being a form of service?
I would have to say that it was for similar reasons as Dr. King, to continue the fight for civil rights and equal rights of all citizens. A lot of times when people, they hear the NAACP, they always associate us with being strictly racial, but the fight for civil rights and equal rights of American citizens is not just limited to race. It can be the rights for genders, sexual orientation. We're still fighting this continuous battle. I think one of the reasons why I'm so active and I'm so involved and I have a passion for equal rights and for civil liberties of all persons, no matter whether they're race, color, creed, gender, sexual orientation, is because I think that everyone has a right to be entitled to be equal. A lot of people, they feel that, you know, the NAACP were out of touch with today's issues. Race isn't an issue anymore. I was just working at the NAACP office this past week, and we had a call in Central Georgia where a man called and said that there was a billboard in his county that stated Merry Christmas even to the. Now, this is 2010, where we're still dealing with issues such as this involving race. A lot of people feel that, you know, because we now have a black president, that a lot of issues such as race has gone away, but it hasn't. We're still facing these same battles. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people, it's just taking on a new form.
Well, that's an interesting point, though. I mean, a lot of people might say, okay, so what? Some idiot put a billboard up. I mean, aren't we tougher than that?
Or were they tougher than that in the 40s?
Well, but... Yeah, but in the 40s, people couldn't vote in their numbers. They were violently prevented from voting. They were not allowed access to public institutions with their tax dollars paid for. They were kept, you know, by law and by custom for pursuing the educational opportunities that all of you have benefited from, right? So I guess the question of, is that really what it's about, is billboards?
It's more than that. It's still an act of injustice. And these small acts of hanging a noose above a classroom door or putting up a billboard saying Merry Christmas even to we still have to fight these fights for equality, because if we don't, it's going to lead back to issues where they're going to have rights that are limited. So I think that it is a big deal. I think that it is an issue that needs to be addressed. I think that it's an issue that that we need to take the fight for.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're acknowledging the birthday of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and we're speaking with three students who each studied at an institution where Dr. King studied. I'm speaking with Justin Bryant, the Reverend Jason Turner, and Elizabeth Siwo Okundi-Jones, and we're talking about social justice and ministry by a new generation in a new century. And the Reverend Turner, I'm interested in, what do you think is the preeminent social justice fight of today? Of course, one of the things that's always interesting to do at this time of year is to go back and actually read some of Dr. King's writings. And his famous letter from the Birmingham jail was directed at fellow clergy. I think sometimes people forget it's directed at fellow clergy who he felt were not as engaged in the fight for equality as he believes they should have been. If you had to write that letter today, what do you think it would be about?
I don't think my letter would be much different. I still think clergy across racial and denominational lines are, on a large scale, not attuned to the issues that people are confronted with. So I really wouldn't change what he said that much. I think what I would add in, particularly two specific issues, would be the educational policy issue as well as the economic issues of our day, which to me were two things that King was struggling with in his fight for justice.
Is race still the issue, though?
It's not the only focus, I think. It's become so insidious, and it permeates so many of the other issues. You can't address economics or education without hitting and touching on race. But that's not the only issue that we have to hammer in on.
Elizabeth, what do you think?
Well, King mentioned that this idea of the strength to love. And I think the biggest issue that we have today in this current generation is not necessarily the strength to love, but the courage to love. He mentioned that a lot of the people, the poor in particular, have become invisible to us because we have allowed them to become invisible. We have shut them out of our minds. And I believe that those whom we do not love or even have the courage to love are the very ones that we will ignore. And we will ignore them with the legislation that we pass. We will ignore them in the way that we vote. We will ignore them in terms of who has access to education or who has access to certain types of economy. We will ignore them in the ways that we engage in war and the way that we respond to crises. So I think the biggest issue that we have today is the courage to love.
And finally, of course, Dr. King was known for his amazing oratory. And I wanted to ask if each of you, is there a particular message of his that you carry with you? Is there a particular phrase or something from one of his sermons or speeches that you carry with you, Reverend Turner?
Yes, there is one in particular. There's a quote King makes. He says, "Change does not roll in on the wheels of inevitability, but comes through continuous struggle." And that's a quote for me that grounds me, realizing that the change that I hope to see, that I believe others are fighting for, is not going to come as just a matter of a happening of the world, but it's something we're going to have to continuously struggle towards. So that quote in particularly sticks out to me. That's grounding and connects me to King's legacy.
Elizabeth, what about you? I've put
King
you on the spot, I know.
That, yes. King stated that the time is always right to do what is right. And that resonates with me because when I think about our societies globally, that many of us typically respond to other people or try to do what is right only in times of crises or when we have the opportunity to exploit others for economic gain or if we can profit from war or when our own wealth and privilege has disappeared. But what about the everyday, ordinary experiences and opportunities? And so, again, the time is always right to do what is right, particularly when it comes to the least of these in our societies. Hmm. If we want to measure how well we are doing in response to the strength to love and the courage to love, we can look first towards the least in our societies, the orphans, the widows, the poor, the victims of violence, those in our prisons, the nursing homes, mental health institutions, our children, those dying of HIV and AIDS. So again, the time is always right to do what is right.
And Justin, what about you?
I would have to say it's one of Dr. King's expressions when he says, remember me as a drum major for freedom. I think a lot of times people feel that the issue of you know, fighting for civil rights as far as racial rights is something that's not needed to be focused on as much. I know a lot of times we focus on you know, social disparities, but sometimes I forget that people feel they forget about the racial disparities that we have in the United States. Mm-hmm. Just in the state of Georgia alone, there's disparities of educational opportunity on a public school level with grades K through 12, as even on a collegiate level, as far as the disparities of federal funding when it comes to public historically black colleges versus predominantly white institutions. I think that these are certain issues that people forget to discuss, because I feel like they're afraid of it. I think now people are presently afraid of the issue of race now. We're past this era. We're past this generation. But I think that Dr. King was on to something when he made that expression. So I would have to say that that's probably one of my favorite phrases, because it's a battle that's not often fought, but it's a battle that needs to be fought.
Justin Bryan is a junior at Morehouse College in Atlanta. He's pursuing a bachelor's degree in history, and he joined us from Atlanta. The Reverend Jason Turner is pastor at Community Baptist Church in New Haven, Connecticut, and a seminary student at Colgate Rochester Crozer Divinity School. He joined us from member station WXXI in Rochester, New York. And Elizabeth Siwo Okundi-Jones is a doctoral student in practical theology and homiletics at Boston University School of Theology, and she joined us from Boston. I thank you all so much for speaking with us, and I expect that I will be hearing more from all of you in the future. So thank you once again.
Thank you for having us.